Ma. I just needed a really good intro. I figured that would be it. No. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. What's that from, by the way? You know?
Man of Steel.
The greatest movie ever. You're right. Yes, Man of Steel. Awesome. That's like the part where Zod and like the aliens are coming to Earth and mankind still thinks that they're just the only creature out there. And they're like, whoa, we're not alone. Which is all fictional because we are alone. But whatever. Still an awesome movie. So listen, we've been talking about what for the last 100 years? Family plan, friends, family. The Bible is all about relationships, a relationship with God, relationship with others. And we've been looking at relationships. A lot of us are engaged in relationships right now as we talk and came here tonight with friends and we're sitting and enjoying the night. You'll go home hopefully to families and you'll be involved in relationships there. And so our lives are full of relationships. And so as we're walking through this, we looked at our relationship with God and then with our family and then with friends. And now we're talking about dating. And last week we had a pretty heavy talk, right? A pretty straightforward talk. Davis did an awesome job. And so this week, one thing I wanted to point out as we're walking through this is I kind of was reminded of it by that little clip. So there is a reason why I showed you that. The fact that as we try to look into relationships, and not just relationships, life in general, like anything you want to do in life, that there will be messages that are constantly thrown at you. And they're not always going to be messages that are true. As a matter of fact, most of the time, they're not going to be. And so as I saw that, I kind of pictured like, that's our life. If you close your eyes for a second and you think about all the different places that messages are thrown at you, claiming to be true, claiming to be a certain piece of wisdom for you and live your life this way and do this and believe that. Think about how many different ways you get messages today. Texts, telephones, the internet, TV, movies, radio, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And what's the most annoying thing for you is you're like searching the internet, something really annoying inevitably always happens. What happens as you're searching the internet? Anything annoy you? Stinking advertisements pop up and you're like, click, close, and you can't even look at what you want to look at because these stinking advertisements are always popping up saying, hey, look at me. Listen to me. Here's a message for you. You need to know this. And they're just popping up all over the place. And what that is our culture, our media, our world around us wanting you to hear their message. Not just wanting you to hear it, but wanting you to believe it. And as we specifically talk tonight about relationships and dating, because that's where we are, this message could really apply to every part of your life. Know that. And tonight I'm just going to gear it towards relationships because that happens to be the context of what we're speaking about. But you are bombarded with messages, and we call that the media or our culture. Paul calls it the world or flesh. That is around us telling us how certain things should be in your life and that you need to live up to that. You need to look that way. You need to do those things and enjoy this. It's messages. But how will you know if it's true or not? What will you decide to believe or not? And so we're going to look at that real quick tonight as we look at Romans 8:5. Can you guys open there with me, Romans 8:5? Sometimes these messages, you feel like you're like, it's all this static around you and like, how do you even hear it? But in there deep, there are messages coming at us. And at the end of the day, it just all seems like noise. And so we're going to get some advice from Scripture tonight to help us figure out what this whole deal is actually about here. So Romans 8:5, it says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Now, what do you think he means when he says the word flesh? What comes to mind? Did you say my mom? I was like, just pure mom joke? Sorry. I really thought you said that. What comes to mind? Body. What else? Your skin, literally, yeah, or like in a biology class, like my skin, my flesh, and my sinews, and all that. What else? Well, how do you think Paul is using the word flesh? Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. What do you think he's referring to here, Josh?
Sin, the world.
Sin, the world, Chelsea. Same thing. Sin or the world. The things around us. And guess what? If we're going to talk about the world, and we want to know what the world believes, and what the world holds valuable, where should we look to find that out? The media. What are the songs saying on the radio? What are the movies saying that we can go to the movie theater and watch? What are the television shows as we watch Modern Family? Ooh, ouch. Oh, I just hit a little nerve there on everybody. Okay, good. What about these shows we're watching that we excuse away that we think are awesome and we watch them and we laugh? Or this music that we hear that's total garbage and trash and talks about sex and bonfires and all these crazy tailgate parties and things women should be doing for guys, and right? And that was just country music. Forget like rap and all this other stuff. I mean, that was just one. That was the cleanest form of music. Right? We laugh because it's true, and we would have a hard time going to the media in any form and finding clean, acceptable things. Now, here's a question I asked junior high. Think about the things that you watch, your favorite shows. I actually had them name a few. You guys could do it too. What's like your favorite show out there right now? And don't be like all timid now because I'm going to like critique you. Go ahead. All right. Yep. What else? Psych. Yeah. Now you guys aren't going to be honest. I shouldn't have told you. I gave it away. So let's just say, we won't ask you. Just imagine it in your head. You know what you watch. You know what you listen to. You know what kind of songs are on your iPod or whatever. And the way you're entertaining yourself. You know what forms of media you're engaging in. What if you were to take that and on a Sunday morning, we were to show that over the big screen in church or play it over the speakers? The music you listen to that's all over your iPod, maybe that was our worship for the morning. And instead of the message, we put on your favorite television show or movie. Do you think that would be an acceptable Sunday morning thing? I mean, never mind just the fact that we're trying to worship. Just, do you think people would just be like, oh. Why wouldn't we do that? Because here's the deal. If you wouldn't do it on Sunday morning, why is it okay for you to do it at home? Why is it so easy for me to excuse it and say, no way, I would never show that in church. My parents are there, my grandparents are there, old people are there, young people, little kids are there. Like, I couldn't show that in church. I couldn't even mention that in church that I do that. Some of us had a hard time raising our hand and saying what our favorite show was because we're like, oh, people can't know that. Why do we excuse it away and do it? Now go back to what Paul's saying here in this verse real quick. For those who live according to the flesh... For those who look to the media of our day today, because the media is going to tell us what our culture loves and embraces. That's what the media is. It's an expression of that. You want to know what our culture embraces? Look at the media. Listen to the media. They're trying to tell you that those things are valuable, that that's how you should be living your life. They're trying to paint a picture of your life and say, here, look like this. And so when Paul talks about flesh, he's saying for those who live according to this world, according to what this world around you and your culture is holding dear, you know how, why they end up doing that? Because it's because they set their minds on the things of that world. They hold it most dear. They chase after it. They focus on it. They're spending their time engaging in it, and they fall more and more in love with it. But he shows another type of person. Look at this. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So we have a choice. We could be people that listen to the corrupt lies and static messages that are being sent, these pop-up ads of the world in our lives, and listen to that and believe those things are true and engage in those things and set our minds and hearts in those things so that eventually we become what they're trying to tell us to become. That's what it is. It's a sales pitch. That's what media exists for, to sell something. They're selling you to live a certain way. And we're doing it. We're listening as if it were gospel truth when we have the gospel truth. And more of us and more churches in general are so worried about looking like the world. We set up our services so we look more like the world. We play music so we look more like the world. We do things so we are more acceptable to the world and our culture. Not in a healthy way that says I'm willing to be all things to all men, but in a way that says I'm going to sacrifice my beliefs so that we look more like you because you're better. And our hearts thrive to look like this culture instead of listening to the word of God that says you'll become that culture the more you engage in it. Or you will become more like Christ the more you set your mind on Christ. And so tonight we come to a choice as we talk about relationships, specifically how will you engage in the relationships in your life? Think about some of the things that we see on TV or hear in music. Those are the things that the world's telling you relationships should look like. Guys, if you haven't had sex by the time you're 13, man, you must be a weirdo. Girls, if you don't have a boyfriend already, wow, you're just too old. You're done. Or girls, if you're not super skinny and have these certain measurements and wear certain types of clothes that reveal all your body to guys, then, man, you're some prude that nobody cares about. Those are lies. But here's the problem. We believe them. The media is really good. They're really good at what they do. They make it look so attractive that we believe it and we engage in it. And the more we're engaged in it, excusing away those things we listen to and watch, and say, it's just once. That song's really not bad compared to the rest of the songs. Yeah, like that's a good strategy. Or we can say, hey, listen, I believe in Jesus Christ and the Word of God is truth. And that's my guide. That's my direction. And I will engage in a relationship with Christ so he can change my heart. So he can make me look like God and the things that I love and the things that I value. Or I can follow the world and end up loving and valuing the world. The media is throwing stuff at you. Are you believing what they're saying about relationships? Are you chasing after it? Because you'll end up where they tell you to go if you actually listen. And that's exactly what it says. Those who live according to the world, it's because they set their mind on it. They believe it. Now, the other day, I went over to visit. Matt Denyer was doing a job over in Cocoa. And I went over to visit and see the job he was doing. Just stopped by real quick to annoy him and see his awesome work. I don't know anything about it, but I was like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, whatever. But it was really pretty, so that's all I could say. So anyway, it was stones and stuff, right? Pavers. You guys don't really care. It's too much information. Anyway, so I stop by. I see Matt. He's got this crazy worker, wild, crazy man that's working for him, fun guy. And I'm on the back with Matt, and we're looking at the thing. And like, all of a sudden, this worker's like up front where I parked my truck next to Matt's, and he's jumping up and down screaming. He's like, Matt, Matt. And we're like, whoa, what's going on up there? Did he drop a like stone on his face or something? What happened? And so Matt's like, oh, what's wrong with so-and-so? And Justin's with us too. And Justin's like, what happened? And as we look out front, this like smoke is coming up out of one of the trucks. He's like, the truck's on fire. The truck's on fire. And he's like screaming, running around like, ah, and he has this big bushy hair. So he looked funny like a chicken. And we're like, oh my goodness, like a truck's on fire. So we don't know which one it is. We're all running. Matt's like screaming. I'm following him. Justin runs up. I open up the hood. We see that, well, let me get ahead of myself. It was my truck, right? I get there. I'm like, it's my truck. Oh no. So I open up my hood. Pops open and this like white billowing smoke just comes out. I'm thinking, my truck's gonna blow up. So I wanna like jump into the ditch and like cover my head because I don't want it to blow up on me, you know? But Justin comes out, he had this huge big gulp and it was full of Coke. So what does he do? Right on my engine, nice Coca-Cola all over my engine, which was awesome, to put out the fire. We're just going crazy. And all of a sudden we look behind us and Matt and his little buddy are back there like, I'm like, what are you laughing at? Actually, he said it like four times. He's like, it's a smoke bomb. And I'm still like dumping Coke. He's like, it's a smoke bomb. I'm like, yeah, oh, funny, Matt, trying to put the fire out. And then I realized it really was a smoke bomb. They put a smoke bomb under my truck. And here I am like jumping in ditches, being crazy, dumping Coke all over my truck. And it was a smoke bomb that his buddy put underneath my truck. Yeah, awesome, huh? You know why I acted like an idiot? Because I believed it. I believed the lie. Now, that was just a fun joke. But there's a truth in there. When we believe something, we behave accordingly. If you believe a lie, you're going to act like that lie is truth, and it's going to change the way you behave. And so as we listen to lies that are constantly being thrown at us all the time in this world, we actually start to believe them. Guess how we're going to act? And so this verse says the more you engage in that culture, the more you're starting to live it. Or your choice is to say, no, I'm going to follow Christ and engage in a relationship with the Spirit and let him change me. But we have a choice. Who will you listen to there? I have another verse I want to show you guys. It's 1 John 2:15, if you want to pop open there real quick. You say... There's a choice, I get it. But here's the next step in this is, look what it says here. Do not love the world or the things in the world. It's not just a choice. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and he has changed your heart and saved you, you're commanded to not love the world. It's not just, oh, go ahead and make your choice. It's either way. It's kind of what everybody wants. There's so many Christians and churches set up today that don't preach against sin because they're living in that in-between, like, it's just kind of everybody's choice. No, it's not. The choice is what makes this impossible. Look at this. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Straightforward. Don't love it. Don't love sin. Don't engage in sinful relationships as we're talking about. Don't excuse that away. He says, don't love it. If anyone loves the world, look at this last part. The love of the Father is not in him. It's not just some choice that we're all free to make. We're all born slaves to sin. We've talked about that. You're born not able to choose God. You were born not able to do good. You are a slave to only sin and know nothing but sin and corruption because we're born that way and we're broken. And it says we are slaves to sin until God comes along and does something special in our heart to change you and say, now you have a choice. So believer, I'm talking to you tonight because he's saying, don't love the world. You can't look at God and say, I love you, but I'm still going to do all the things that you hate. Now, let me just pick somebody, Josh Felt. We're like best buddies, okay? Josh and I are absolutely best buddies, and so I'm like, hey Josh, I'm going to have you over for the Super Bowl, dude, and we're going to eat some good grub and watch the Patriots win like we know they're going to, all right? Don't bring a deflated ball or I'll kick you out. So Josh comes over, and so I decide, I know two things about him because he's my best friend, so I know at least two things about him. And so I know that Josh hates fish. He can't eat fish. He hates it. It makes him throw up. And he's allergic to peanuts. Bad peanut allergy. He'll die if he eats peanuts. So when Josh comes over, I'm going to cook this awesome meal. We're going to watch the Patriots win like 50-0. It's going to be awesome. And so I make a huge plate of tuna with peanut sauce for Josh. And he sits down and like push it over and like, there you go, buddy. Enjoy. Why would I not do that? Because he's my friend. He's my best friend. And I care about him. And what?
He might die.
Well, he might die. Yeah, he absolutely might die. He hates it. He hates it. He hates everything on that plate. I'm not going to engage in this and then do this for him when it's something I know he hates because I care about him because he's my best friend. And if I tried to kill him with peanuts, that's probably going to prove that I'm not really his best friend, right? But yet we can go to God and go, hey, listen, I love you, but I'm going to do everything you hate. I'm cool doing this stuff even though you've told me not to and you hate sin. I'm going to come over here and love it. But we're still tight. We're still best friends, God. Enjoy. Here's my sin. Take it. Enjoy it. This says, if you love God, you will hate the world. And there are so many of us. There are so many of us that are okay with sin and think that we are so in love with God. Being in love with God is more than lifting your hands up in the air and jumping around and singing some praise songs. Being in love with God says, you're the most important thing to me. I hate this world. I hate sin. And I love you. When I say I hate this world, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that everything around you is total evil and you have to go like the old monks 100 years ago or longer than that used to sit on those tall poles all by themselves for like weeks. You know that? You know, they did that? Yeah. They would do crazy stuff like that. All sorts of different things because they hated the world and they had to get away from it. That's not what I'm telling you to do. Don't go sit on a tall pole somewhere by yourself for 2 weeks. Like, it's uncomfortable. It's bad. That's not what I'm saying. But your heart shouldn't long for the world and for sin and for corruption. Your heart should long for God. And as you date, you shouldn't be excusing away, this is acceptable now, and I can touch there, and I can do this, and I can go there with that person. Because, you know, I say, God, I want to stay as far away from sin as possible and glorify you in the way I live out this dating relationship with this person. Guys, I'm not going to go watch pornography or look at it on my computer because I love God. Because he means something to me. Because the way he's told me to engage in relationships is not honored by looking at disgusting images of things that God says is wrong. I'm not going to go to places, strip clubs and other places like that, because it's fun and because it's... I'm going to go, God, I love you most, and I'm going to honor the things you've told me to do because I love you. I'm not going to say that and then still love the world. This is huge, and I don't think this gets preached enough. I think most of us kind of walk on eggshells around this because we don't want to offend the people who are sitting out in audiences. Because this is offensive. But this is what God calls us to. So we can either say, God, I'm following you, or God, I'm going to be a mediocre Christian who loves the world. And we need to make a choice. You say, Rob, that's too hard. Like, how am I going to ever do that? I try, you know, but sin is tempting and it's hard to do. Like, look at 1 John 5:4. Let's see if there's some advice here for us in 1 John 5:4. As hard as it might be, look what it says here. For everyone who has been born of God. Who? A couple people? The really spiritual people? Everyone who has been born of God. All believers that are redeemed by Jesus Christ overcomes the world. I know it's hard. I know temptation is hard. But we have a promise from a Savior who said, you're not doing the work. If you've been born again by me and you're engaged in a relationship with me, I'm going to do the work in you. And so you can overcome this world, no matter how hard you say it is. And this is how. Look at the next part of the verse. And this is the victory. Here's how that has overcome the world. Trying to be really good, following a checklist, going to church a lot. Any of those things? No. Last two words, our faith. As you trust and believe in Jesus and engage in a relationship with Jesus, focus on Christ. He does that work inside of you. That faith is what gives you victory over this world and the lies and the temptation and the messages and all the garbage that this world wants you to believe. It's hard, but faith overcomes it because then God does the work through you. Some of us haven't got to that point where we're willing to surrender to God. You can't say you have faith in him until you've laid your life down and said, God, I'm yours. You got to give up. And you're like, it's just not working, Rob. I try to have this faith, but it's not working because you haven't given up. You got to surrender. And you might be sitting here tonight thinking that same thought. Like, I've tried that. Like, you know, I've done that before. And have you given up? Have you surrendered over to him? Have you truly placed faith in Christ to say, you do this in me? You can't overcome without it. That's why you're stuck. It's your faith. I have one last passage I want to share with you and we're done. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. He says this, let no one deceive himself. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to keep reading in a second, but I'm going to stop right there for now because there are those of us who sit in messages like this a lot. And you see, if you're anything like me growing up, I was that person. I was the person I'm going to describe. I'd sit there and go, I'm good. You know, this doesn't have anything to do with me. Like, oh, good thing that preacher's not preaching this to me right now. And it's like there's some checklist I just check myself off of. And as I look at my life, I feel like I'm cool. So I can check out and not feel guilty, not deal with conviction of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to check out and be good. But it's usually the person that's sitting in the message going, I'm good, that's the one that needs it the most. It doesn't say, don't be deceived by Satan. It doesn't say, don't be deceived by peer pressure and the people around you. It says, let no one deceive who? Himself. You see, we don't need Satan to come up and do his best ploy to deceive us. We don't need really sneaky friends to peer pressure us into things. We just need to be us. We do a great job deceiving our own selves to not listen to the Holy Spirit when he convicts us. To say, no, I'm good. But yet I'm going to go home and watch trash on TV and listen to garbage on my iPod on the way home. But I'm good. We deceive ourselves. And we buy the lies of the culture. And then we start to live like the culture. And this says, let no one deceive himself. Look what he says next. If anyone among you thinks that he's wise in this age, in this world. See, what the world's doing is it's going, hey, Sierra, good job on that. You're better in our eyes now. Mallory, great job. Like, you're looking better according to what we think is good. Nick, man, yeah, you're really making it, bro. You're climbing the ladder of the world now, dude. You're doing the things that we think's awesome. And eventually the world is applauding us and encouraging us on with their messages to be more like them and to do these things and be wise in their eyes. And they want to stick us on the front of a magazine. Some of us, I want to be in the front of a magazine one day. Like, that's the big thing. Like, I want to be the guy. I want to be the girl that the world looks at and just gives glory and money and fame. And I want to be it, man. Now, just for a dramatic pause for a second, because it's getting a little tense, I'm going to stop and just show you something. Go ahead, Manny, show that real quick. We want to be that guy in the magazine. That's us. Like, we want to be him. See that? I made it. It's not a real magazine, y'all. No, I didn't really get on there. Megan made that for me like 10 minutes ago. But here's the deal. I just want you to picture yourself there. Not in the fire, but like there. Instead of me, okay? And I know it's goofy, but I want you to think for a second, because that's what the world wants to do to you. That seems cool. Sweet. Half of us are like, yes, like they want that for me. But what this verse is saying is that when you finally reach this and you get to where the world thinks you are like it, God looks at you and goes, you know what? They're applauding you because you're really good at the sin that they love so much. You're really good at living like the world and the culture and believing the lies so much that you've become their hero, and boom, you are now the poster child for sin. Good job, you made it. God says, don't deceive yourself. Because if you're wise in the eyes of the world, look what it says God thinks about you. Let him become a fool that he may become wise. Take a dive bomb off that success ladder head first. Because what the Bible says is that if you're following Christ, the world's going to hate you. If you're following Christ, the world's not going to be applauding you. They're going to think your life is nonsense. Why are you living that way? Why aren't you doing these things? How come you're not having sex with your girlfriend right now? How come your relationship doesn't look the way we think it should look? Why are you not dressing all that way? And they're going to look at you and think you're nonsense. And God says, now you're wise. Because now you look like Jesus. Who do you want to look like? What means the most to you? To listen to the culture and get their applause? Or to invest your life in eternity and the person that loves you more than anything you could ever imagine, who gave his life for you? Something that means something, that will last, who wants the best for you? Because choose this side, it's going to lead you to destruction. It's going to wreck your life. It's going to feel good for a while until you fall off the ladder on your own. Or you can choose Christ, who's given everything for you. Will you respond to him? Will you hear through the static and see through the smoke and ignore the lies and go, God, I want to seek you and your truth more than anything else? Verse 19 says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And you'll get trapped in your own deceit and your own deception because you'll listen to your heart. And the Bible says your heart is corrupt beyond anything. The most corrupt thing in the universe is your heart. Don't listen to it. Listen to truth. Listen to Jesus Christ. Now, the very last phrase of this verse up here says, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And this is a well-known saying. It was wisdom saying that, they said. And what it meant was that these people basically bought into the smoke of their culture. They deceived themselves and ruined their own lives. They believed the static. They believed the lies. And they got caught in it. When you talk about relationships, the most important things in our lives are relationships, which is why the Bible is all about it. Don't get caught in your own lies. Don't destroy the most important things in your life. Now, because we're talking about wisdom at the end of this, we're running out of time. Next week, we're going to talk about the importance of godly wisdom in relationships. And to segue in between there, I want to leave you with four practical steps, just practical wisdom for you as you think about relationships. Now, some of these are repeating Mark Driscoll, that video we watched. Some of these are from other books, but all of them are from the Bible. And I just want to give you four practical steps, and we'll look more at them next week. But think about these. First of all, don't act like you're married until you're actually married. Now, right away when I say that, you think, oh, okay, don't have sex. But I'm not just talking about don't have sex until you're married. Because what we do is we go, as long as I don't do this sexual act, I'm okay. But I can still act like I'm married in all of these areas and give really, really intimate parts of myself away to my date. But I'm okay with that because I didn't have sex. And what happens is you start to do things that married couples will do and share things with each other that only married couples should share. And you have this incredible intimacy where your hearts aren't guarded anymore, and we're commanded to guard our hearts. And you literally give the most intimate part of your heart away to this person as if you were married. And guess what happens when the breakup happens? She comes up, she's like, I don't like you anymore. Your hair looks stupid, I'm done. And she walks off, and you've given her the most intimate part of your heart. Man, I've seen people like this. It's worse than like a divorce from a couple that's been married for 30 years. And they were just two people hanging out and dating. But they were giving up so much intimacy from their own heart, without the sex, but just intimacy and doing things and going to places and hanging out in ways that only married people should, that you gave up so much. The breakup was absolutely devastating because it crushed your heart because you didn't guard it. Don't give that away until you're married. Don't act like you're married unless you're actually married. Guard your heart. Second is this. Seek a Proverbs 31 person. Be a Proverbs 31 person. We talked about this already, but make sure that you actually do have a list. And I'm not talking about brown hair, blue eyes, blah, 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 blah. I'm not that type of list. A list that says, what will I do when I actually start dating or as I choose a date? First of all, are they a person who honors God with their lives? Now, we can all be like, yeah, I do that, yeah, but really all you're thinking about is what they look like. Be honest with yourself, because you're the one who's going to have to deal with this later. We don't. You will. And actually choose someone who's going to honor God and honor you. Be someone who honors God and honors the person you're dating. Third, seek and listen to wise spiritual counsel. I guarantee you that if I asked all of you, hey, how many people in here go up to a spiritual influence in their life and go, should I date this person? What do you think about them? Probably two of you would say yes. It's just not a common thing. Statistics show that maybe like 2%, it's almost zero. People just don't do that today. You know why? Because our culture says, hey, that's your choice. That's something you should do. That's your heart. That's your life. You should be the one who makes that decision and drives that boat. And we don't go to people and go, hey, what do you think about this person, mom or dad or good friend or pastor or somebody who's spiritually influencing your life? We don't do it because we're like, that's an invasion of privacy. Do you do it? I mean, you can doubt me right now, but I mean, do you do it? You should. Because the Bible talks all about, and we've already talked all about, having wise counsel, positive influences, accountability. We've talked about all these things as we talked about relationships. See how they build on each other? Do you go to these people and go, what do you think? Is this a healthy relationship for me? And do you actually listen? Or is it like, yeah, okay, you don't agree with me, so I'm going to go do it anyway? Or do you really go, look, I believe that you want the best for me, and I can hear that you love me? Is this going to be a healthy thing? Do you ask your parents? Or is that uncomfortable for you? Seek out godly counsel when you try to decide who to date and actually listen. Lastly, don't ever let dating damage your important relationships in your life. Now, we all know those people. We have friends probably who are like that, who as you see them start to date someone, you're like, boom, where'd they go? Where'd so-and-so go? Like, they used to hang out with us, and now I haven't seen them in like 2 months. Like, where are they? And they're like, oh, they're with so-and-so now. They're dating, and they're gone. And they're gone for months at a time until finally they break up. And guess what? When they break up, guess where they go? I'm back, guys. Like, I know I didn't see you in like 3 months because I was like hanging out with my girlfriend, but... And then another girl comes up, pff, gone, disappears. Or forget that. Mom and dad are like, no, I don't agree with who you're dating here. We need to talk about this. And holy war breaks out in the house. Oh my goodness. And it's just this huge thing with your parents and you're fighting over this person. I'm going to date them. I'm not going to date them. And you don't listen to that. And you start to damage all the relationships in your life. And so your friends are like, I'm done with this. And your parents are like, you guys are in an argument. And all these relationships are broken. And then she comes up and does that thing she does. I don't like your hair. Boom, she's gone again. Oh, wait, who do I go to now? Because now my friends don't even want to talk to me, so I have no friends. My parents are all ticked off. My family's mad at me. I've broken the most important connections and relationships we just talked about in my life. Dating is built on those things. My relationship with God, my family, my friends, dating. God put them there for a reason, but we're going and we're suicide bombing all these other relationships and then thinking this one's going to work. He put them there for a reason. Don't damage those relationships because of who you're going to date. Use them. And Mark Driscoll mentioned this in his video, that they should be intimate parts of your life, supporting you and keeping you accountable as you date. They should be an important part of that dating relationship. So don't sabotage them. Don't get so starstruck or butterfly feeling that you just forget everybody else in your life. Use those relationships. Allow God to work through them to give you a healthy, awesome dating relationship with a person that might be the one you're going to spend the rest of your life with. All right? Those are my four facts for this week. And I want to leave you with just saying this. You are loved. The God of this universe loves you. We love you. And as we talk about relationships all across the board, know that you are deeply loved. And next week, we're going to look at how God's love and his wisdom is such an important part of our dating relationships. All right, so stay tuned until next week. Let's pray, and I'll let you guys go. Father, we do love you so much. And God, we thank you for the most important relationship we could ever have, and that's the one with Jesus Christ. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. God, thank you for forgiving. Thank you for reestablishing a broken relationship that I broke. God, I pray for us in this room, Lord, that our lives would glorify you, that we'd be engaged with your spirit so that we don't hear the lies and get confused by the static, but God, we hear the truth and we focus on the spirit and we live in the spirit. Silence this culture and this media in our hearts and help us to hear your voice as you guide us in everything in life, but as we talk tonight, God, in our relationships, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.